You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Hello one and all, and welcome back to Ravens Weekly, the official podcast of Bromley Football Club. My name is Matt Hall, and I'm joined, as ever, by the man opposite me, pulling all the strings with the tech on his laptop, Josh Tindall. How are you, Josh?
Good, mate. You?
Yes, very good. Great to be back for another episode. It doesn't even feel like yesterday that we recorded the last one. It feels like earlier today.
It's because it was yesterday.
Was it? Am I going crazy? Well, that's quite possible. In fact, I think it might have happened a while ago.
I think it was. Well, it's weekly, isn't it?
So it is weekly. It has been a week, and it's been a very busy week. Lots has happened in that time, and that means we've got lots coming up on the podcast for you today. Now, let's look back at the two fixtures that we played during that time, the first of which, of course, was at home to Gateshead. And it was one of the most highly anticipated fixtures of the season, if not the most anticipated fixture of the season, as Gateshead had a fantastic start to the season. They were on a run of three games without conceding a goal, and they'd scored 10 in that time. However, they came to the Relocatum Community Stadium, and thanks to two goals from Michael Cheek and another from Byron Webster, it was a 3-1 victory for Bromley on the day. Marcus Dinanga getting the equaliser for Gateshead, but it was short-lived. However, Josh, I've got to say, Gateshead were a fantastic footballing side and certainly one of the best sides we've seen with that style of play in the past few years.
Yeah, no, I think we said on the day, didn't we, that they're the best team that we've played so far this season, obviously up until Tuesday night. But yeah, no, 100%. Obviously we played Barnet and teams around that. Obviously Eastleigh are up there now, but yeah, I think Gateshead just had that, you know, that strength, and obviously having Marcus Dinanga scoring once every game has helped them out. And but yeah, no, really good result.
Well, you can see why they've got the results that they have this season. Their style of play was very, very slick, excellent passing team. They carved out some opportunities. I think we dealt with pretty much everything that was thrown at us. Obviously, the goal was a bit of a frustrating one to concede. But what really impressed me, Josh, was the speed of the response. First half was a fairly even affair. Second half, it was Bromley who were on top. Gateshead arguably shaded that first half. Bromley were on top in the second half and took the lead through Michael Cheek. But it was a really quick response, actually, with the Byron Webster header having conceded the equaliser.
It was, yeah. And like you said, I think Gateshead going into half-time were probably the better team. But we came out stronger in the second half, and Michael Cheek doing what he does best, scoring and then scoring again. Obviously, Webbo with a goal as well, but yeah, overall, good day.
It was indeed. And of course, Lewis Lee was shown a second yellow card later on in the match, in injury time, actually. And Ed Francis as well went off injured, so that meant the sides ended the game with 10 men apiece. However, the score was 2-1 at that point. Robbie Tinkler hit the crossbar for Gateshead, and then Bromley broke down the other end, and Michael Cheek slotted home the third. We talk about it with Andy later, but what a week for Michael Cheek.
Yeah, that rhymed, actually.
It does. Yeah, it's just effortless, Josh.
Obviously scoring twice on Saturday, but also welcoming baby Cheeky into the world as well. So, yeah, really busy week. But like we said in Andy's interview, he sort of, you know, he's obviously had a long week and brushed that to the side on Saturday and, you know, delivered.
He just does what Michael Cheek does. He just goes about his business in a very understated manner and just delivers the goods. That's the only way I can put it. Absolute powerhouse of a National League goal scorer. And we're very pleased to have him in our ranks. But overall, a good game of football between two very good football insides. I felt it was a good advert for National League football, actually, that game.
Yeah, it was a really good game. And obviously we were dealt a blow, weren't we, in the early stages with Bez going off injured. That was a nasty one, so hopefully he's back soon. But yeah, no, I thought we did well, especially in the second half.
Indeed, indeed. And 3 points on the day for Bromley, which was exactly what the doctor ordered. Moving on to our loanees and two recent loanees who have temporarily left the Relocatum Community Stadium, Marcus Sablier and Sam German, both scored at the weekend. Sam German, of course, scoring for Herne Bay and Marcus Sablier netting for Lewis. It's brilliant to see, isn't it? And actually, we've seen the goals. Two good goals.
Yeah, really good finishes, to be fair. Nice. Solid header from Sam German and, yeah, tidy finish from Marcus.
Well done to them both, and we look forward to tracking their progress as the season goes on. Moving on then, and we faced another tough test on Tuesday night. That was the 3rd of October as we travelled to top of the league Chesterfield. And typically, other than the playoff game, it's been a pretty happy hunting ground for Bromley, who've pulled out some good results there over the years. But of course, Chesterfield, the difference is this time they were top of the league. Of course, having played a team who were in fourth on Saturday, Bromley went into another tough game against another top team. And unfortunately, it just wasn't our night, Josh. I'm not really sure how else to sum it up. We were saying it on the commentary. There wasn't much in it first half. We had a couple of good opportunities, but I think sometimes you just got to hold your hand up, and Chesterfield deserved it in the second half.
Yeah, to be fair, I think before a ball was kicked this season, I think everyone tipped Chesterfield to, you know, sort of run away with the league. And I know Barnett and whoever are up there as well. But yeah, I've got a feeling Chesterfield will win the league. So, like, ultimately, it's not a bad result. But obviously, Andy and the players want to win them all. But yeah, they just showed that they're probably slightly on a different level to us. And I've got a strong feeling they'll be playing in League Two next year.
Yeah, like you say, it was a very good performance from the home side in the second half. Restricted us to very little opportunities, and to have over 6,500 people in attendance as well. The support was brilliant. Just got to give a shout out to the 40 Bromley fans who made the journey. An absolutely fantastic effort, and fair play to each and every one of you. And hope you all had a stress-free journey home after the game as well. But anyway, moving on from that one, it was a 2-0 defeat on the night. It brought an 11-game unbeaten run to an end, unfortunately. But time to get heads up and look ahead to York City at the weekend. And that's exactly the job of manager Andy Woodman, who we caught up with again, as we do every week on Ravens Weekly. And here's what he had to say.
Andy.
Sorry, who's this?
Oh, I knew
this
that
is
was
the
coming.
New work experience boy.
I knew that was coming.
Welcome. I wish I'd have your work experience.
So my name's Josh, and I tend to, you know.
What's your favourite colour, Josh?
Oh, do you know what? Red.
There we go.
Blue looking at it.
Yeah,
nah,
he's very
red.
Very
Chesterfield fan. Man. Secret Chesterfield fan.
Oh, no. Oh, right, that's throwing me off, actually. Right. So let's start with Saturday against Gateshead. What are your thoughts on the performance?
I thought it was a masterclass by us. I've seen some of the comments the other manager made. They had a couple of chances, but you can have a couple of chances, I'd have thought, you know, in most games. I felt we showed a real discipline of what we were going to do. I keep trying to sort of stress to people. I went and watched Leicester Preston last night, and They actually almost done a masterclass, you know, for 60 minutes. Jamie Vardy never got a kick. And I know there's a point at the game you have to come out and try win the game. But if you come out of your slots, these teams are drilled to play round you and through you. And ultimately, you know, we didn't do that last week. And it's that first goal that's critical. We got the first goal last week. And that then the game opens up. Preston never got it last night, and then it looks like a bad result because when you're 1-0 up and then 2-0 up, you've got freedom to play even more. So there is a trade off when you do that against teams like that, where you sit in and let them have the ball and wait to nick it and then go and get a goal. And if it doesn't come off, everyone says, "Hey, you should have come out your blocks and been a bit more assertive." But then you get played round. And I thought it was a really good performance last week. I have to say that. And I thought the result was the result. You know, I don't think there could be too many complaints. I thought it was a better team.
And obviously, Cheeky's had a busy week, but on the day he was completely switched on and, you know, did what any good striker does, and he scored twice, and you must be happy for him.
delighted for him. I mean, look, I go on record saying it all the time. Cheeky's great. You know, he's our talisman, isn't he? He gets his goals. And when you've got a player like that, you know, when it falls to you, you kind of 9 times out of 10, you know he's going to hit the back of the net. It's great. Tuesday night, you know, against Chesterfield, we had 2 big moments before half time where we could quite easily come in 2-0 up. They didn't come off. You know, we were just a little unfortunate. And they're the margins. You know, they're the margins. And they're particularly the margins when you play the big teams. If you don't take those moments, then it's tough. And we didn't take those moments the other night, other games we have. And that was really, I felt a big moment. If we could have gone in with one of those converted and 1-0 up, it would have been a different game because they'd have had to really come out. And then that's when we will expose the other team.
And speaking of goals on Saturday, Sam German and Marcus Sabia both scored on their loan spell. How important is it for these lads to go out and experience regular men's football?
Critical. It is critical. You know, I know whenever that someone sees one of our players go out on loan, I see some comments of, why are we not letting him, why are we letting our best players, young players go, why are we doing this? Because they've got to go and play football. There's no way they can improve by sitting on my bench or sitting in the stand watching us play every week and hoping they get a chance. They need to get games under their belt and they need to experience it. And they all come back different. They'll come back like men, you know, and they won't be viewed by the group as young players no more, which is a real important thing for these guys. They'll have a different appetite. They'll have a different manner about themselves. All of those bits that people don't see football-wise, but you'll see them as characters, is really important. And we'll be doing the same to players here. You know, players like Lewis Lee will go back to their clubs and Jonesy and hopefully Kido and Kirky and all that. And they will go back different characters because they've had an experience of being around men's football.
Yeah, and to be fair, you mentioned it before, obviously, the good relationships we've had with Millwall and Arsenal and Preston, like you said, with taking players from their side. But I guess it works the other way as well with us forming good relationships with those lower down. And
so important. So important. And it's so important that these boys go out. It's so important they feel wanted. It's the same principle from the players we take to the players we let go, you know, go and play. And George Alexander, we can use him in that as well. He's,
yeah,
you know, how great is him that he's out there playing and banging goals in and getting minutes. You know, he's still a young boy. He's getting minutes under his belt.
I know Matt spoke to you on Tuesday night, but what was your overall reflection on that game?
Well, there's a couple of schools for thought really on it. I never like losing to anybody, and I'm a real bad person. I think it's a super strength of mine, but some people think it's not. I believe we can beat every team we play against. I'd never go into any game thinking, this could be tough. Never. I've never done it. I've never done it as a player, never done it as a coach, and I'm finding I'm not doing it as a manager. So I go to all of these games expecting us to win. The hardest bit for me on the flip side of that is when we don't win. Like, we played a team the other night. If I take my Andy Woodman, we're going to win everything head off. They're a bigger club than us. They've got players they brought off the bench. I mean, you know, with respect, they're a top team, you know, and it kills me to say it in one breath, but I have to respect that that's where they're at as a club. You know, it's just under 7,000 on a Tuesday night. We would love to have that here, wouldn't we? So I have to put it in context once I've settled down. And of course, I didn't want to lose. And of course, the margins were close. And it could have been different on another day. It wasn't. And on reflection, I think I have to be honest. And I think on reflection, the best team won on the night. And I've held my hands up. You know, they had a better team on the night that worked better. We had a couple of, you know, and probably the way I sort of get myself through that mental process is we had a couple of blows ourselves. You know, we had, you know, Lewis Lee was suspended for this game. Sam Woods had only trained one day and put himself up to play. I mean, he had one training session. And we got Bez who was out. So the way I dress up in my own mind is if we'd have had a full team out there, it might have been a different result, you know. And this is football. They've still got to come to us. So we're hoping we'll have the return leg back here and we'll get a result.
But it does show how far this club has come when you said it yourself, you were disappointed with losing, but so were all the players coming off the pitch. And I think going to a place like Chesterfield and the lads just expected to win, and it's just it just shows how far we've come.
Yeah, and that hasn't happened overnight. I mean, that's a culture I've put in this club and a mindset I've put in this club. You know, we could go right back to when we played Wrexham at Wembley. I mean, I don't think there was one person in the world to give us a chance there, but we put a mindset and a culture into that. And I want to continue that, you know, because I do have this belief. Sometimes it is only 11 versus 11, and if you strip it right back, and if you graft hard and work hard and you're disciplined and you have all of that, you've got a good chance. And then you just need that little moment to fall for you. And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. My disappointment was the goals. I thought the goals weren't the sort of the goals we'd concede, really, you know. Just switching off when the ball was out wide. And then a set piece. I mean, I can't remember last time we conceded a goal for a set piece. So that disappoints me. But what you do have to understand, which I do understand, is because I try to do it to other teams, if you create that pressure on a back four constantly for the whole match, sooner or later something has to give. There has to be that moment. And then, again, I come back to Leicester last night. They had the ball for 78% possession. And they didn't get a kick. They up top, they didn't get in once. And then soon later, that one pass, someone stretches, can't cut it out. And that's what you're playing for when you're one of those teams. You know, you're just keeping that pressure on. And look, we're mixing it with the big guns, so be it. And we're probably thinking that we're a big gun sometimes here. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I want this club. Listen, my burning desire is to get this club out of this league. There's nothing more driving me than try and get this club out of this league, and we have to keep pushing everywhere.
Matt will obviously talk to you about the game on Saturday, but on Monday we had the FA Cup draw. What did you think of drawing Willstone?
I wasn't really too sure what to think, whoever we drew, to be honest. I haven't really thought about it. I know that sounds bizarre, because I kind of think about that when it comes.
Yeah.
Look, Wilson will be, they'll play the ball. They'll have probably 700 passes. We'll probably have 80, and hopefully we get the result. I mean, Gates had 600 passes against us, and we had 151, and we won 3-1. And that's the bit we have to get right as a team. Wilson will be Wilson. We'll worry about that the week of the game. I wasn't too fussed who we got. I did have one eye, and I was hoping we were going to be at home, to be honest. So that was the real sort of thing for me. Who we draw in the cup, I don't think it really matters. It's the cup, and we've got to try and get through to the next round.
Just talking of immediate things, just following on from Tuesday night, defeat is obviously something the players haven't tasted in quite a while. How are they today, and what's the mood like at the moment?
Yeah, I have to say, I think you guys will probably back it up for people that don't know. We've got a real honest bunch of lads. As a manager and someone that's been in football a long time as a coach, it's so refreshing. We've got a real honesty amongst the group. If someone made a mistake the other night, it's not a case of putting their hand up saying, "Oh, I made a mistake." I don't want that in my group. You know, people just admit, "Oh, I'm sorry." But there's an accountability. Everyone, you know, I made mistakes the other night. I know the mistakes I made, and I'm accountable for them. I know the mistakes I made the other night in that game. So I'm accountable to those. So it's not they made a mistake, they let us down. No, we've all got to be accountable. And I made a couple of errors the other night myself, which I'll gladly take on the chin. And I've spoke to the group, and the group, we're honest. We're honest as a group, because I feel you have to have that. I have to have their trust that I'm not always blaming them. And equally, they've got to have my trust that I know where they're at and I know that these things happen. So we're good. Yeah, the lads have been good. We've got a real great bunch. And it's about now the reaction. I mean, we knew this was going to be a tough week. You know, when the fixtures come out and you look at Chesterfield on a Tuesday night away and York then straight after on a Saturday. I mean, I don't know who looks at that. I don't know if anyone looks at it, whether it's just a computer generates it. I don't know. But you've got to think to yourself, come on, that can't be right. Can we have Ebbsfleet away on a Tuesday night or someone more local? Surely that must work in the league somewhere along the lines. Not just for the players, for the fans. You know, the expense, the travelling. I mean, you go home at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Mm. I just think there needs to be a level of that must be looked at somewhere. So we knew it was going to be a tough week, and we got to get on with it, take care of our business.
Indeed, and just on that note, we saw Ben Crowhouse take quite a knock in that first half. He looked a bit like Rambo playing on after that point. How is he at the moment?
He's all right, Ben. Yeah, he's fine. And he's, I think he just wanted a bit of tape around his head, didn't he? You know what I mean? He was fine, Ben. I mean, look, we've had a few bangs and bruises. And speaking to Paul Cook the other night, you know, his team, he was saying very similar. You know, all these games, that they stack up, they're relentless. And, you know, you wouldn't put a racehorse through this Saturday, Tuesday, but we seem like it's all right to put footballers through it and expect them not to get injured or not to get tired or not to get strains. You know, so he's got the same problems. Everyone's got the same problems. We just have to get on with it and make sure that we freshen up at times and try and rotate when we can. The other night, I don't think we could. I felt the changes were forced upon us and we had to do what we had to do. But yeah, Ben's fine. He's fine.
You talked about Freddie earlier on. It's not often you're able to get up and watch him. You managed to do that last night, which is brilliant. How's he doing?
Wish I'd have stayed at home, to be honest. That is always good. Yeah. It's always nice to go and watch him. You know what I mean? It's actually nice to go and watch another game, you know, and watch another team. And since I've become a manager, it's kind of bizarre. I've started watching games completely different how I used to. I should be there watching Freddie. I'm actually looking at how teams are setting up and what they're doing and how the opposition are trying to stop it. And, you know, my enjoyment of football's gone. I'm now just looking at science behind it and thoughts. That's my learning, you know. But, yeah, it was good to go and see him. And it's always nice, like most parents, I still want to be a parent.
Of course, of course. And back to Bromley matters. We head away to York City on Saturday and they're a side who have hit a little bit of form now, including being 1-0 down after 85 minutes on Tuesday and ended up winning the game. So they'll be coming into that one with a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, look, I think they're a good club and I think they're a good team. And Neil's a guy I like. So he'd have gotten fired up. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be a good game for us to go to. I think the stadium's lovely. And they've hit a little bit of form, you know. But so have we. You know, we got beat the other night, but we've only one loss in 12. So it's not all doom and gloom. I kind of need to repeat it. We're going to just take care of our business. That's us. Good luck to York. Good luck to Chesterfield and everyone. Let's just worry about Bromley and just making sure that we are ready to execute our game plan of how we want to go and win a football match. And I look forward to it, yeah. I look forward to going to York and I think you're right. They have hit a little bit of form and they're a little bit of an upturn, but, you know, let's worry about Bromley.
Talking to Bromley, finally, we're not allowed to say his name yet, but you've made an addition to the team, or to the squad, I should say, this week, which will be announced in due course. But are you excited about that one?
Well, first and foremost, I wouldn't know how to say his name. I've asked him how he wants me to say it, and he's told me. I think we've got to just keep where there's an opportunity to strengthen all the time. I think we have to just keep looking at that. And I spoke to the chairman about my process of how I want to do things maybe this year, and he gets it. And if something else comes up, the phone's going as we speak, there's something else coming up, we'll strengthen. And I've got his full backing on that. So, of course, we've got to cut our cloth accordingly. We can't go and sign a Jamie Vardy or someone like that. You know, that we have to work within our parameters that is affordable to our football club. So we have to just keep looking. And if something else comes up, the chairman, you know, I'm sure he'll back me with that. So looking forward to another announcement today. Yeah, never stops.
It doesn't. Andy, thanks so much for your time. We'll catch you after the York game.
Thank you. Thank you.
Going back to the weekend, our under-21s, they won again. Beat Hartley Whitney 3-2 away. So they're still unbeaten, still top of the league. And yeah, they're going for it, aren't they?
Makes a difference for them to have a tight game. Usually it's 3-4, 5-6-0. 3-2 is actually quite close. So yeah. Sounds like they'll push a little bit further this time, but it's brilliant to see them in all seriousness in such a brilliant run of form. There's so much talent in that team and I'm sure we're going to be seeing more of those players knocking on the door of the first team. So a brilliant 3-2 win for the under-21s away to Hartley Whitney. Congratulations to them and let's hope they can continue their good form. It was another good weekend for Bromley. We'll forget about Chesterfield. Like we said last week, it was 3 wins in 3 for Bromley's 3 kind of in inverted commas, senior teams, the Bromley FC women, the Bromley FC under-21s, and of course the Bromley FC men's first team as well. We've talked about the Gateshead game, we've talked about the under-21s, but the Bromley FC women sealed FA Women's Cup progress with a 6-0 win against Welling United in the FA Cup. That is an absolutely fantastic result to add to more brilliant scorelines that we've seen this season. There were a good amount of people getting behind the team as well, and that seals their progress to the next round. The following day, on the Monday, saw the FA Women's Cup draw, and it saw Bromley draw their first away FA Cup game of the season, and they will face Selsea in the next round. So, of course, we'll bring you more details on that once they're known, and very best of luck. An FA Cup run, Josh, for the women would be brilliant.
Yeah, especially after last season, obviously. They got drawn against a really tough Millwall side, and obviously Millwall showed why they're in the league above. But yeah, obviously season before managed to get to round one, I think it was, wasn't it, for the first time ever. So hopefully, you know, a similar run this time and even further.
Well, the difference is this time we're going into it in such a brilliant run of form. Yeah. I think there's no stopping Bromley women at the minute, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how they progress throughout the season. Congratulations to the team and the management. It's absolutely brilliant to see. And we talk about the FA Women's Cup. It was also the draw for the Men's FA Cup on the same day, Monday the 2nd of October, and Bromley were drawn number 4. The ball, weren't we? Drawn out of the hat first, and we will face Wildstone at home on Saturday the 14th of October. Of course, a club who we've faced already in the National League at the Relocatum Community Stadium this season. That's ending in a 1-1 draw that night. Tavon Campbell putting Wildstone ahead early on, and Sol Cader capping off his starting debut with an equalising goal. That actually, Josh, was the game that kick-started Bromley's 11-game unbeaten run.
Yeah, it was after a shaky start to the season. It was the first game where, I think it was our first goal, wasn't it, that night?
Yeah, Sol Cader,
first game where, you know, the spirits were sort of lifted again. And yeah, like you said, it kick-started a really impressive run. And, you know, I know they'll be looking to start another run on Saturday, and hopefully Wilson's the second game of that.
Well, I think we've said it before, that Sol Cader goal was a pivotal moment. You look at that unbeaten run, that is what kick-started it. And actually, you could see the difference that goal made to the confidence in the team on the night. You know, heads picked up, and actually we could have gone on and won that one. Unfortunately, we didn't, but it did kick-start that fantastic run. Great moment for Sol, and obviously devastating with what happened with his injury away to Kidderminster on the following Saturday. But he's still around the place, Josh, and he's really positive about his recovery, and he's working hard, isn't he? It's really good to see him in that mindset.
Yeah, I think we saw him at the... we stayed here for the Rochdale game, didn't we, and watched it in Broomfields, and Sol came and sat with us and watched the game, and obviously he wants to be there, and he said that on the night. He doesn't want to be sat in Broomfields watching it. It was a good experience, but yeah, it's he wants to be out there on the pitch, and you know, he was played obviously against Wilstone, and then he was picked again before his injury, but he'll be determined to come back, and I think he's making good progress, isn't he, with his injury. So
he is, yeah. I think he's recovering actually a lot quicker than people thought. He was in the cast and, you know, in the boot and with the crutches for quite a while. He's moving around a lot better now, and that progress has come really quickly. And his determination will really see him through, and I can't wait to see him back in the team, because I really liked what I saw in those opening couple of games.
Yeah, and I think the one factor that has sort of shaped him as the player he is now is the FA Youth Cup.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's fair to say that for a lot of players. You know, that's where Ben Crowhouse, you know, made his name in the academy ranks. The same with Kellen Fisher, the same with Liam Vincent, you know, and Sol as well. We've seen that kind of four, and there are others as well that have come through that, and that's really been the making of them. On a public stage, you know, in front of more people. And I think you're very right there, Josh. I think that's had a huge part to play for Sol, and kind of alerted everyone's attention to how good he is. And like you, I can't wait to see him back on the pitch. And maybe we can get him on the podcast soon to see how his recovery is going. And he can tell everyone how he's getting on. There we go. Sorted. Just have to agree it with Sol, of course. He might turn around and say no. He might not want to come on.
He came on, didn't he, when you were away that week?
Yes, he did.
He came on with me, I think.
Well, he'll have to come on with both of us this time.
There you go. There we go. I'm pretty sure he'll be happy to do that.
Let's sort that. Let's sort that. But anyway, continuing the FA Cup theme as we digress a little bit there. Unfortunately, not such a positive note this time as Bromley faced Tunbridge Angels away at the Longmead Stadium on the 2nd of October. It was an evening kickoff, 7:45.
In the Youth Cup.
In the FA Youth Cup, indeed. And unfortunately, it was a 3-0 defeat for Bromley on the night, which is a little bit disappointing. And Bromley bow out of the FA Youth Cup. Considering the successes of the past few seasons, it's obviously a bit disappointing. But of course, we wish the team all the very best for the rest of the season.
And plus, as well, it's the whole thing of how well Luke's been doing, and obviously Jamel taking on his new role. He's sort of heading the whole, you know, academy coaching. He's in charge of everything, and it would have been good for them to Scott Wagstaff as well. Obviously, he's had involvement in that, and yeah, it would have been nice for those three to progress and enjoy the run like we've seen previous coaches and members of staff enjoy. So I think on that side of it, obviously, it's like we said, it's how Ben Crowhouse, Kellen, Sol Cader have sort of made the step up, and unfortunately if you don't progress in that competition, it sort of dampens the chances a little bit. But yeah, I think for everyone involved, it's just nice for them to go on a run. So yeah, disappointing that it had to end.
It is, but look, there's a fantastic coaching team there who are, you know, footballers themselves in Scott and Luke, and generally across the academy, there are so many talented, you know, members of staff. They've settled in really well, you know, the new guys particularly. And, you know, just observing how Luke Coulson, you know, manages his teams and goes through the games and, you know, takes them in the analysis room, goes through everything. His detail, the level of detail is so impressive, and he's going to be a top coach and a manager if that's what he wants to be.
It showed, didn't it, when he's coming in as under-17s manager and then straight away promoted to the under-18s.
No surprises. No surprises there.
Yeah, he's on the up.
So a disappointing week, but overall, lots to look forward to for the team there, and very best of luck to them. Moving on, and it's time for Community Corner. Can I get the right one this time?
Might be on the wrong.
It's on the wrong set page.
Buttons. Press those arrows at the bottom. No, at the bottom.
Here.
And it should say chimes.
I can't read.
You got it.
I can't read it upside down. Air horn. Oh, we must be close. There we go.
Go on, then. No.
Oh, no.
Not on the screen, on the buttons.
Which one? Oh, no. How do I get out of this?
Oh,
right.
You have to,
it's gone again now.
Yeah, go back.
There.
Oh, hang on. So you know that, yeah. There you go.
That must be a new record for how long we've taken to play the jingle.
I mean, you wanted the jingle, Matt, so...
There we go. We got the jingle-ish. It's a chime at the end of the day. And in Community Corner this week, I wanted to, first of all, promote our upcoming October half-term camp. Please book your child's place online if you haven't already. Places are going quickly. It runs from the week commencing the 16th, the week commencing the 23rd for that two-week October school holiday. 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. the sessions run, and it's a whole load of football fun and activities throughout the day. So your child won't want to miss out if they're a football fan or they enjoy playing football. And it's a great opportunity to keep the children fit and active during the school holidays whilst they can make friends and have a social life as well, which is really, really important. Also, wanted to touch base on the Corporate Cup, which we hosted at the Relocatum Community Stadium last Friday, the 29th of September, and a number of the club's sponsors and partners came together to take part in this Corporate Cup tournament on the stadium pitch. We had four separate pitches at once, which was quite a sight to see, and a number of the club sponsors and the community sponsors and partners fielded teams to play in this tournament, with some more successful than others, but we won't go into that. The most important thing is to say a huge thank you to every single player and every single team and sponsor or partner who participated. We had a fantastic raffle as well to raise money for the Community Trust and all of the work that we do. And in that, we were able to donate some signed shirts, a couple of bottles of wine, very large bottles of wine, and a couple of tickets and things like that as well that the football club very kindly donated. So huge thank you to all of the teams that took part, and congratulations to the eventual winners, Sinapri, who won for the second tournament in a row, and they are going to take some stopping, let me tell you. But Josh, it's all round a really fun day, that, actually, isn't it? And seeing these guys and girls take to the pitch, all thinking they're the best footballers, and yeah, it's great to watch. But ultimately, everyone enjoyed themselves.
Yeah, I think this one was probably the best one out of the three that we've done. I think this one was, you know, flowed better than usual, and yeah, I think it was more enjoyment. And yeah, Grant Smith was there as well when he presented the
winner's award. Yeah,
the winner's award, and yeah, I thought it was good.
Well, continuing the community theme, we're going to hear from a member of our Community Trust participants now, if you like. He has his own segment of the podcast because he's so brilliant. It's the one and only Roy Oliver for Roy Remembers.
George was very good the other day, wasn't he?
He was. Singing. Very good.
Good voice, wasn't he?
He has, yeah. Yeah. Bit of Frank Sinatra tribute going
on
there.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody enjoyed that. They really
did. We are actually recording, so...
Oh, and right. your mic has now popped out.
Oh, I know.
This is all going very well, ladies and gents.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a sneak peek of what we get up to off air.
Yeah.
Is talk about George Pegg singing.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a great performance from him. However, yeah, we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Roy Oliver. Roy, how are you today?
I'm very well, Matt. Yeah, very well.
Good to have you back in, as it is every week.
Yeah.
Just before we get on to the history corner, we'll talk about how the team have been doing of late. And obviously, you've been to every game this season, Roy.
Yeah.
And two of those games have come in the past few days.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Gateshead first. You were there with Jim Brown, watching up next to us in the press box. What did you think of that game?
I thought Gateshead looked a very good team, actually a very good team. They passed it around. They were a bit slow at the back there, you know, sort of trying to pull players out of position and all that. But to me, they didn't look frightened of putting people in the line. So, like, Josh kept getting pulled over, and then they bung the number 11 in there. So it sort of tried and stretches a bit more, you know. But, yeah, I thought they were a very good game. But I thought Andy played it brilliantly. Because we wasn't really getting nothing up front. So when he brought on Bim in the second half, that was an outstanding move because it gave them something to think about rather than we thinking about them all the time. So we started pressuring them a bit. And, you know, they had probably a lot more of the ball, but we were breaking on them. So, yeah, excellent win and three good goals.
It was, wasn't it? A brilliant second half.
Yeah.
And against a team who were on a brilliant run, and that took the unbeaten run to 11 games, which is a great achievement.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that came to an end on Tuesday at Chesterfield, and you yourself were up there. What did you make of the game?
I didn't think they troubled us that greatly in the first half, and I thought probably we had the best two chances. And obviously, they had a lot more possession of the ball. Second half, they started to stretches a bit more and really have a go at us. Right? And I think Andy said it in his after the game talk, you know, we just turned off a little bit after, you know, for the two goals, you know, which were like quickly was a open goal, really, wasn't it? Mm. So, but we battled well and you knew that one day the runs were going to come to an end. And you were playing the league leaders at the time, so...
Important to remember that.
Yes. You know, and I think what Andy said as well afterwards, that, you know, is that's gone now. Let's move on to the next one. And we look to the positives of what we got out of the game. So, yeah.
Absolutely, Roy. Yeah. Very wise words. Yeah. Moving on then. So the reason you're with us, which is your incredible knowledge of Bromley Football Club history and everything you bring to the club and Ravens Chat and so on and so forth. What have you got for us today?
I've got the Bromley v Nigerian game. And this is the programme.
24th of September 1949.
Yes, yeah. So Nigeria were the first team to come over and do the tour. They played quite a few matches, but they played five or six non-league games. They played Dulwich, they played the Athenian League, and two or three other games. But they also played a few other games in that as well. And, of course, there was only three of them wearing football boots in that game against Bromley. And the crowd was 10,798 down here.
Is that the record for Hayes Lane?
I think it is, yes. Also, Barry Evans was at this game. And I think he said that he liked there was more than that. And there was a speculation there was about 12,000 down here, but...
Josh, can you imagine the ground that full and what it would have looked like?
Carnage. This would have been carnage, yeah. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, all the kids went down the front or on top of people's shoulders and all that. Yeah. So we lost the game 3-1, but we weren't at full strength. George Brown was injured, so he couldn't play. There was a big civic reception in the town for the Nigerians and all that. I think they went to the... They went to the Gaumont Cinema. So do you know Bromley South? You know where Wilkinson's is?
Mm.
Well, that whole building there was the Gaumont Cinema.
Wow.
So, and I remember going there Saturday morning pictures, sixpence. It's like 2.5p now. Yeah, but we had a weakened side and it was a great reception night and it was first Nigerian to appear in England.
So, and
I've also got the pennant.
Oh, wow. That's in great condition.
Yes.
Look at that.
Yes. It was given to me years and years ago.
That is superb.
Yeah. So it's a real... And I've got some press cuttings here as a cartoon and all that, and a civic reception in Bromley by all the local dignitaries as well.
Josh, can we start getting Bromley cartoons?
I don't think I've got that in my... in my locker.
Oh, I'm sure you do. You
pull if it, anyone yeah. if anyone does, then...
You'd pull it out of the bag. I'm sure you would.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. What was his name? Sid, he's done loads of these over many, many years.
You showed Bromley. Them to us last time. I think it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, Sid Jordan.
They're brilliant. And they're specific to Bromley FC as well. It really is amazing.
Yeah. So it wasn't just football, it was for all other sports as well. Cricket, he would do like cartoons.
It's superb.
Because Bromley cricketers used to play Bromley Town at a cricket match before the season started. Because it was like in the cricket season and the start of the football season.
Can you imagine that now?
Who would open the bowl in?
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. And the programme you've got there is in such good condition. How do you keep all this stuff almost in its original kind of condition?
Well, I've got a filing cabinet at home where all my best stuff is kept. My bedroom looks like a bomb's hit half the time. But I'm gradually sorting things through. I went over to see an old Bromley supporter last week, and he's getting rid of loads of programmes like 70s, 80s and 90s, and I said, well, I won't throw them away because I'll always find someone who they can go to. I don't believe in throwing things away just for the sake of
it's just incredible what you bring every week. It's something different
and
it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
incredible. Roy, thank you always.
Thank you,
a pleasure.
Matt, thank you, Josh.
And Roy Oliver is just the gift that keeps on giving every week. I love that segment of the podcast and I love sitting down with Roy and learning more about the history of the club. And we hope that all of you enjoy that segment on the podcast as well. It's certainly a very enjoyable one to be a part of. Now, we are looking ahead to the trip to York City this coming Saturday, the 7th of October. And it's heading to a York City side at the LNER Community Stadium, who are very much turning the tables around after a poor start to the season. They got a very late win at Dagenham and Redbridge on Tuesday. We know that's not an easy thing to do. 1-0 down after 85 minutes and won the game by 2-1. That was after a 2-2 draw at home to Solihull Moors, who are, of course, unbeaten. That's a very respectful result. And prior to that, although they lost to Barnet and Oldham, they beat Southend United and they beat Woking as well. Again, another late goal for that win against Woking live on the TNT Sports cameras. Josh, obviously a side that we didn't have very much luck against last season. They did the double over us and in, I guess, frustrating fashion in both games, with the goalkeeper being sent off in the home fixture and the very late winner from them despite having 10 men in the away game.
Yeah, yeah. But like you said, it was disappointing coming up against them last season, but completely new set of players this year, and who knows, obviously they've picked up good results like you mentioned there, but you know, it depends who turns up on the day.
That's absolutely right. And Bromley make the trip up to the LNER Community Stadium in fifth place on 25 points. York City occupy 18th in the National League table on 14 points. And of course, it is going to be another tough test for Bromley, who will look to start kickstart another unbeaten run. And it all starts on Saturday. And we know, having spoken to Andy, you've all heard from him earlier on in this podcast, that attentions are very much on that. So if you are going, safe travels to you and all the very best. We'll see you up there. If you can't go, you can join us on Mixlr live on Bromley Radio as well for the commentary of that game, and we'll bring you all of the latest and try and make you feel as if you're there in the press box with us or in the stadium with us, because sitting next to us would be some kind of punishment, I'm sure. But of course, thank you to all of you who've been tuning into the commentary this season on Bromley FC Live and through Bromley Radio, and of course listening to these podcasts. Just a couple more things to bring you. A reminder for the FA Cup fixture against Wealdstone. Season tickets are not valid for FA Cup games, which is standard procedure. And of course, the Kent Senior Cup fixture has now been announced away to Dartford, and that will take place on Tuesday, the 28th of November, and that's a 7:45 kickoff at Prince's Park. More details on that one will follow a little bit closer to the game. We've also got a murder mystery evening coming up at the football club here. That takes place on Thursday, the 7th of December, starting at 7 p.m. And you can find out more information on that one. It sounds like a very interesting evening for sure, on our website, which is bromleyfc.co.uk. Josh, we're nearly there, aren't we? Oh, not forgetting the amazing Bromley women are at home again this Sunday, the 8th of October, kickoff 3 o'clock against Denham United Ladies. So fingers crossed the Bromley women can keep up their brilliant run of form. And of course, remember to come along and support them if you can on Sunday. A reminder that club members / season ticket holders do get into that one for free. Josh, I think that's it for another week. It's flown by again.
It has, yeah.
Thank you for joining
me. Sorry. I've just not been with it this evening, I don't think.
Well, your mic dropped off earlier as well, which hasn't helped.
Ever since that, it's just been a bit.
It's thrown you a bit.
It's thrown me.
It has thrown
you. But we'll be back next week.
We'll be back.
Better than ever.
Before we leave you, remember, Andy alluded to a new signing, so keep your eyes peeled. There's plenty of excitement.
Can we give a clue or not?
Oh, I don't think we are. Someone's going to work it out. Someone's going to work it out if we do that.
Hmm.
Anyway.
It doesn't begin with the letter A.
Okay, I think
that's as that's far as
pretty
we're
safe. Is that his first name or his surname?
Both.
Okay, all right. I'm happy with that.
So it's definitely not whoever begins.
Adamant.
Adamant. Prince Charming. Adamant.
In all seriousness, Josh, thanks for joining me today. Thank you to all of you for tuning in. Do keep your eyes peeled on the socials for news of that new signing. And yeah. Thanks once again. We'll be back with you next week. Safe journey to those who are heading to York, and the best of luck to all of our teams at the weekend. Take care, everyone. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.